Hello and welcome to another edition of Club Kingsnake Web Radio. We've got a South by Southwest artist spotlight today, and today we've got somebody from the Brother Kite here. Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, pretty good. Get ready for South by Southwest?
Yeah, there's a lot of things to, we're all the way up in Rhode Island, so we have to figure out everything involved with getting our gear down there and everything. We're not doing a full-blown tour. We're going down just for a series of shows in that area, so there's a few things to figure out, but it's all worth it because it's great fun once you get down there.
Now, you've done South by Southwest in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, we did it 06. 07 we skipped, but 06 we did it, and it was great fun. We can't wait to go back.
You played over there, at the Habana Calle.
Yeah, which is sort of a Cuban restaurant turned into a rock venue. You know, they convert a lot of restaurants into venues for that week.
It's pretty amazing. People will play just about anywhere they can find a level piece of ground and a place to plug an amplifier in.
Everywhere you go, there's free beer and great music, whether it's a pizza parlor or a record shop or anything. There's just music and beer everywhere.
Let's talk a little bit about your music. I listened to your music and I was kind of surprised because it started off with kind of a Cure-ish kind of Catherine Wheel sound, and then the lead vocals come in and they're much too chipper for that kind of music. What bands influenced you?
I think most of our influences are probably from rock and roll from the 1960s, like the Zombies and the Beach Boys and music like that. I mean, we certainly know the Catherine Wheel and the Cure and know all these bands, and I'm sure they influenced us in some ways. But direct influences, I'd say we look a little bit further back into... we listened to a lot of Zombies while we were making that record, a lot of Beach Boys, and I think that's pretty apparent. Kind of that sunny, chipper 60s pop rock influence.
Okay, I know listening to the song Waiting for the Time, the Beach Boys influence is readily apparent.
Oh, yeah. That song was written by Patrick, our lead singer, who... I think around that time he was listening to the Pet Sounds box set, which had isolated vocal tracks, and listening and just studying their harmonies and the relationship between all the different voices, and he really put it to good use in that song. I think it came out pretty nicely.
You guys have a really thick, rich sound, kind of like an aural carpet that kind of embraces the whole thing. A lot of 60s bands had that kind of a wall of sound kind of thing.
Yeah.
Were you actually aiming for that kind of sound, or is that how it turned out, or is that the way you guys sound live?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I mean, we do have three guitar players live, and we have a lot of sequenced pre-recorded material. I mean, it's a really dense performance live, but we record all our own material at our home studio, and for that reason, I think we spend a lot of time doing overdubs, just because we have the time. I mean, if we were to record in a proper recording facility, I think our music might not be so dense, mm-hmm. and some people may think better for it. But we spend a lot of time in our home studio doing a lot of overdubs, and, ideas just keep coming and things pile up. And, I mean, you certainly have to pay attention to the relationship between parts and making sure you're not crossing a line, because that's certainly possible. But I think a lot of it is because we spend a lot of time at our home studio just piling on the overdubs until we feel like there's just no room for anything else. You
know? The album that you've got out right now is called Waiting for the Time to Be Right.
Yes.
When did you guys release that?
It came out late 2006.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact date.
Have you got another one in the works?
Yeah, we toured on that for a while. I mean, we've all got day jobs and such. We get out as much as we can. We did as much touring, as much... the South by Southwest trips and everything, but we're kind of, that whole waiting for the time to be right thing is starting to wind down, and we're starting to ramp up our studio. We're buying lots of new gear and trying out a lot of new techniques and writing new material. We're getting ready to start making another record. Probably when we get back from Texas, we'll get pretty serious about it.
Going to do it all in your own studio again?
Yeah, at first we didn't want to, because Waiting for the Time to be Right took so long to make, and that's the story. When you make your own record, you have a tendency to spend a year on it, which is what we did. So we didn't want to go to our own studio, but it's almost like when someone gets divorced and they say they're never going to get married again. And time passes, and before you know it, you fall in love and you tie the knot. We swore off home recording. Some time passed. Now we just can't wait to get back in the studio. I mean, it's so much fun. So, yeah, we are going to record our own record again, at least most of it at our own studio. We have a few contacts where we may mix it elsewhere. It always gets mastered elsewhere, but... most of it will be done in our home studio, which has pretty much been completely remodeled since Waiting for the Time to be Right. We've done a lot of improvements, so, I mean, that record sounds okay, but hopefully the next one will sound much better.
What's the music scene in Providence like now?
It's pretty non-existent. I don't know if you've heard, a couple years ago there was something called the Station Fire at a club called the Station, and a band was playing and they used pyrotechnics, which started a fire and unfortunately killed a lot of people. I think it was like 100, you know, concert goers.
Yeah, actually, one of our Reptile Site listeners was injured in that.
Seems like everybody knows somebody, even though it wasn't, I mean, it was 100 people. But ever since then, they started getting really strict with all the venues about fire exits and fire code. And of course, if you're in a band like us, you go on tour, you see the date of venues across the country. I mean, not many of them are up to fire code. And when that fire happened, they started to get shut down. And there was a pretty intense and serious kind of underground scene that occupied all the old mill buildings around here. There were lots of mill buildings from way back when that were left unoccupied. And, I mean, that whole scene shut down completely because that wasn't up to code at all. I mean, these venues were just, you know, abandoned buildings. And that scene disappeared. Even the proper scene disappeared. A lot of clubs shut down. So, I mean, it's not entirely the station fire. It's not a big, bustling city like Boston or New York. But, I mean, that was an ingredient that aided in the entire thing falling apart, you know.
It was certainly probably enough to snuff it out.
Yeah, but it's all right because we were never a big local band. We never have been. I don't think we ever will be. We never really could break into the indie scene. You know, there's RISD here and there's Brown and there's a lot of colleges and there's two types of people. There's the hipster art crowd, which I think we weren't quite loud enough for. And then there's the frat crowd that we were much too loud. So we never really agreed with Providence's music scene, but that didn't stop us. I mean, we're so close to other cities, New York, Boston, you know, you can just jump in a car and then you got somewhere else to call your home. So.
Where's your favorite place to play?
Probably Washington, D.C., maybe 8 or 9 hours away. And we hit it on every tour on the way out or on the way back. And it seems like we always have great shows. And even though the weather is, it's just the hottest city. I mean, it's just everything's concrete. And I remember the thermometer saying 104 or 105 last time we were there. I mean, painfully, painfully hot, but we get great shows. People always come out, and we have some pretty hardcore fans in that area. So I think D.C. kind of really supports us. We always have great shows.
Well, getting back to the South by Southwest, you guys have gotten a lot of buzz. You were one of the early bands to be announced, I guess. Do you know what your schedule is for South by so far?
We've been notified that we should find out very soon. They wait till the last minute to tell you where you're going to be. I mean, here it is. It's not even a month away, I think, and we still don't have the venue nailed down. So it's up to the festival people. And I think we'll be notified pretty soon, but if anybody's interested, we'll certainly have it on our website. We're going to be playing the official South by Southwest show, and we're also going to try to cram in as many little day parties as possible, just because when you make the trip, you like to make the most of it and try to expose yourself to as many people as possible. So we'll be playing the evening showcase show somewhere, and then a handful of day parties here and there, which they'll all be on our site, hopefully, so.
Well, what's your website address?
TheBrotherKite.com.
And they can also find your stuff at your MySpace, correct?
Yeah, which is MySpace.com/TheBrotherKite. I'm not too hip on the MySpace thing, but I think that's our URL.
Well, cool, John. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I'm going to try to catch up with you because I think you got a really neat sound. And I like bands that it's really tough to define them. I mean, there's so many emo bands out there that all pretty much sound like they're coming out of the same meat grinder, and you guys certainly aren't that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. That's a nice thing.
Well, thank you very much, John. You have a good day.
You too, man. Thank you. So far, it has become a new one, not the only one. It's bigger than everyone, not the only one, not the only one. Can't explain the love in the way that you can't explain a halo to the non-believer. Can I see what treasure means?